أحمدك اللهم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and we bear witness there is no God but Him, and we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and the prophet. And we ask Allah to shed His peace and the prayers upon the Prophet and his household and his companions and his followers to the Day of Judgment. My dear fellow Muslims, a message was sent and it was taken by two carriers. The one relayed it to the other before it went to its final destination. The message is the Quran. The two carriers are first Jibril to convey it to Muhammad, and the second was Muhammad to convey it to humanity. And the real addressees whom the message addressed is you and me and the rest of humankind. Now, what is the response of the addressees that receive this message? Some of us would say that because there are a billion Muslims living in the world, then my share would be 1/1,000,000,000 of the Quran. And of course this is not true, because as the Quran addresses humanity, it practically addresses each and every individual of us. Now, the first duty upon receiving a message is to read it. Some people would say, but it is written in a language that we do not know. And the answer is simply, get someone to translate it to your language. And this indeed has happened through the many attempts to translate the meanings of the Quran. Although once translated, we don't call it the Quran anymore, because the Quran is divine language and any translation would be human language. But after reading it, there is the duty to understand it, because so many people read the Quran and read the Quran and read the Quran, but they don't try to understand it. Imagine someone receiving a letter that he could read, but he didn't attempt to understand it. And this would be the second duty, understand the Quran. And then your response to understanding the Quran will definitely rely on your regard to the one who sent it. Some people treat the Quran as an icon. It is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so it is barakah, and we put it in our pockets or in our cars or in our libraries and use it occasionally on such occasions as marriages and deaths. But this means that there is complete lack of understanding the Quran. Because if we understand the Quran, we would realize that the Quran comes not only to be read, but to be consumed, to follow the guidance in it, to make it influence your life. And this is how the Quran should be properly received as a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember Iqbal, that great poet of Pakistan, who was behind the concept of Pakistan really, told that his father had told him about the Quran. He said, "My son, I want you to read the Quran as if it was sent down upon you personally." And this is how a Muslim should treat the Quran. And if we do that, then the Quran would put life into our life. Just like Aisha saying that the Prophet's character was the Quran. The Quran is meant to be our character and our behavior and the lens through which we see life. And if we do that in this spirit, we'll find that we will feel the influence of the Quran immediately. Even a short verse might carry a mountain weight of meaning. Imam Shafi'i describes the surah wal asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bil sabr. Allah swears, by the time man is at a loss except for those who believe and do righteous deeds and enjoying themselves in truth and enjoying themselves in patience. And Imam Shafi'i says, if this was the only verse revealed, it would have been enough for people to live with it if they really take its meaning and put it into action. I would like to share with you an example of a verse of the Quran that could find its way through the soul and self of its reader, although he had always read it maybe for hundreds of times, until somehow it clicked and he could really acquire the conscience, the consciousness and the awareness to that verse of the Quran and how it changed his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Those who have the taqwa, if they are afflicted with a touch from the devil, they remember and immediately they regain their sight, which means that as long as they are touched by the devil and have not acquired the remembrance, it is tantamount to being blind, and it is with that remembrance that they regain their eyesight. And sometimes people experience delay in that reaction, so that they go over verses of the Quran like water sliding on a smooth surface until the soul is ready to absorb, and then the water will execute its action on it. It is a friend of mine called Hussein, a young person, but a Muslim brother, who shared me that story. One day, he received a telephone call from a person who didn't know. And he said, well, sorry, I don't remember, remind me. And the person said, I was your classmate at elementary school 30 years ago. He said, well, it's nice to hear your voice again, and I hope you are doing well, etc. And the man said, I would like to invite you to dinner. He said, this is strange, I never expected that, you take me by surprise. But it is a pleasant surprise anyhow. Is there an occasion? He said, yes, there is, and I'll tell you the occasion later on. And so he responded to the invitation, and as they met, they could barely recognize each other. And the man told Hussein that what made me take this step is a short verse of the Quran, and he read that verse to him. And he said, I was so afflicted with the shaitan, and I'm sorry it took me that long a time to remember. But now the verse gave me new dimensions. They remember, so they immediately regain their eyesight. I cannot be blind anymore. And this prompted me to extend this invitation to you. He said, how come? He said, do you remember that while we were in elementary school, the school took us to a field trip. And when it was lunchtime, you opened your lunchbox and found it empty. He said, yes, I remember that. He said, I would like to tell you that it was me who threw away your lunch. And after reading this verse of the Quran, I feel it on my mind, on my conscience. So I am inviting you both to give you a dinner instead of your lost lunch from the lunch box, and to say to you, I am sorry, hoping you accept my apology. It was a happy reunion, and the friend told him, but this is not the only thing I have done today. He said, what else? He said, I visited that school, that elementary school, and took with me a book, and saw the principal and the librarian, to tell them 30 years ago I borrowed this book from the library, I liked it, so I kept it. And now I discovered I've been wrong, so I come to apologize and to give a donation to the school. And he said, but this is not all. I've been in telephone contact with several people whom I had backbited or hurt or resented. And I put a list of names, and I am in search for them, and everyone that I can find, I tell him, I have backbitten you and I apologize for that. And he said, you don't know how my life was transformed. As if I am born again, as if I am living my life with a new perspective, and I feel a much purer man and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, the theme is that people sometimes do wrong and sleep on it. But if they scrutinize the Quran and try really to go into its meanings, they might wake up from their sleep and get cured from their blindness. And then the reaction after that would depend on your relation to God. Because you know he knows and he has been watching you and observing you. If you want to restore a good relation with God, then you have to comply with the guidance he gave you in the Quran. But when you discover and realize you have done wrong, and you make no attempt at healing it, then you will be put in an unfavorable category of people in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many a time did we commit something wrong in our past? How many in the time did we commit sin? How many a time did we make mistakes and just forgot all about them? Or they come to our memory like memories, needing no action to be taken upon them. And I think a good test, if you want to make sure that your relation to the Quran is all right, then you should act upon this relationship and try to correct your past, your present, and your future. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سلوا ربكم يستجب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear fellow Muslims, it is beautiful to be a Muslim. You will thoroughly enjoy it, but it doesn't look like a world that contains 1 billion Muslims. The majority of them either are still blind or still forgetful, or they remember but they take no action upon it. Allah gave us not a message to read, but a message to understand and a message to obey and to comply with. The Quran should be our life before we dare to call ourselves Muslims, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage to say sorry when it should be said, and to correct any ills we have created, and to fill our hearts with his love and love to our fellow Muslim and our fellow human being. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. اللهم سدد خطانا واشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وارض عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا ووجهنا إلى ما فيه الخير يا رب العالمين. اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك واجمعنا على طاعتك ومرضاتك والحب فيك وأحينا وأمتنا وابعثنا على لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.